This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSIN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSIN, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. All right, let's discuss the NFL as we continue our NFL draft division recaps, and we will go with the NFC East today. And the headliner in the NFC East has to be the Washington Commanders, who got their new quarterback in Jaden Daniels with the second overall pick. The former Heisman Trophy winner will be the signal caller in our nation's capital for Dan Quinn and the Commanders. But the rest of their class, rather interesting. They got Johnny Newton from Illinois, the defensive tackle. They also addressed some other needs, drafted a tight end. They had some O-line work that they did as well. But a lot on defense, though, trying to get Dan Quinn some extra pieces for that Commanders defense. How would you, I guess, not really grade their draft, but what did you think of their team building process and adding Daniels and the rest of the draft picks?
Well, I mean, they really spent a lot of time and effort on defense. They tried to get Dan Quinn type players in there, whether it was, you know, Dante Fowler, who we had with them at DC, whether it was Dorrance Armstrong, who we had with them, at Dallas. They were there. And then, you know, Bobby Wagner, he signs from Seattle. And really, Bobby's going to be like a player coach on the field to give him some stability at the Mike linebacker. Frankie Louvu is a really good player who they signed from Carolina. Jeremy Chin's another good player from Carolina. They've upgraded their team. There's no question. And they'll play hard. One thing, Quinn, there'll be an effort from Quinn's team. They'll play hard and they'll play together and there'll be a direction. And offensively, the question still remains, are they good enough in the offensive line? They drafted Brandon Coleman in the third round to be the left tackle. They're going to need that because right now, Corn Lucas is the left tackle. Right tackle is Andrew Wiley, who's an average player. This offensive line is average at best, even though they've put money into it. I think that's going to be the concern if you're Daniels. He's going to run. I think his running prop was over 500. I think that's a good play. I think he's going to take off and run. The protection, they don't have enough offensive linemen. They're not good enough there. But look, they're going to be improved. Do I think they get seven? You know, I could see it, but I also could see them losing a lot of close games, you know, and I think getting the kicker McManus helps them. Joey Slova was not very good last year. You know, he just signed with the Patriots on that, but they have improved their overall depth of their team. They just have a long way to go, and the quarterback's going to hold them back a little bit as a rookie.
Yeah. Do you think he's ready to like kind of be an instant impact guy, Jaden Daniels? I mean, like, because expectations now for rookie quarterbacks, probably unfair, but people are like, oh, CJ Stroud did it. Why can't my guy do it? But that's just probably not realistic in what people should be expecting.
Yeah, I mean, look, D'Amico comes in and changed the defense. They played hard. It didn't start off well. I mean, I think there's certainly you can make that argument. But I think Houston's offensive line with Tunzel at left tackle and some Shaq Mason and some of the other players they have was better than this line. A veteran tight end and Dalton Schultz. You know, Nico Collins comes through for him. Noah Brown and then Tank Dell emerged. You know, they've got good skill in McLaurin and Dotson, but, you know, they draft McCaffrey in the third round. We'll see how that works out. But I just think they're a little bit away. I think they've improved the talent base of their team. Can they? And it's going to take a year to get this thing to all play together.
How about the New York Giants, who, I mean, 2 years ago, they were the toast of the town. Brian Daboll, coach of the year. They go to the playoffs. They win a playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings. And everybody thought that the Giants had kind of arrived. Well, they took a step back last season. Now they sit here with a win total of 6.5. Their draft was Malik Nabers, who they got out of LSU, really dynamic wide receiver. But then they addressed safety and corner, and they got some tight ends and a linebacker. I guess, are the Giants, who also has a win total of 6.5, are they in a good spot going forward here?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it, right? And I think it's interesting how we were talking about the betting market. You know, Daniel Jones is still their starting quarterback. I mean, they did nothing to a position. Look, you know, when you say the Giants were a playoff team, and you cannot deny they made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They beat a Minnesota team that was very fortunate to win a lot of close games. Yep. And they never could stay close to Dallas or Philly. Anytime they play, and the second half of that season was a disaster. That playoff season really hurt the Giants. It didn't help them. It hurt them because it gave them a false pretense about their quarterback. And then they signed him to a two-year contract of $80 million. He wasn't the reason they won. He wasn't. He averaged 6.89 yards per attempt. He wasn't the reason they won. The reason they won was they managed the game. They got ahead of people early, and they came from behind. They won some close games in the first half of the season. But after the Seattle loss, it kind of went south. And they lured themselves into thinking they're better than they really are. And that's a horrible disease to have, is when you think you're better. You know. And so now they've got Neighbors, who's a really good player. But can Daniel Jones get on the football? You still have Illuminor as your starting right tackle. Is that going to be good enough? Or are they going to, you know, I mean, look, we don't talk about it, but Evan Neal, one of the first picks of Joe Shane, has not been a good player for him. Mm. We'll see what happens there. I'd have a hard time thinking the Giants win seven. I really do.
Yeah, the betting market
is. You know, not everybody in the league can win seven. Not everybody in the league can win seven. That's the thing, you know? It's like somebody's going to have the first pick in the draft, right?
The betting market is telling the Giants that their quarterback is a 6.5 win total caliber quarterback, which I think if you're the Giants and you pay that money, it's not what you want to hear. The Philadelphia Eagles, on the other hand, their win total is at 10.5. They draft a couple of corners to start off, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, and they made a bunch of trades throughout the draft processes. I think on paper, it looks like they've improved their roster.
No question. And in the betting market, I mean, they have the most bet team in terms of winning. They've moved the number. They've jumped ahead of Dallas, and rightly so, because on paper, they look really good. On paper, they look in the and remember, on paper, too, this involves coaching. Yep. Right. Vic Fangio is a better defensive coordinator than what they had last season. Right. That's no question. You know, I mean, Kellen Moore comes in to run the offense with Nick Sirianni. Is he better than who they had last year? Probably. And if they coach him, which Philly does a good job of coaching the coaches, maybe they'll get more out of him in the passing game. This should make Jalen Hurts a better player. I think, to me, they've had a good offseason. You know, and even though I'm not in love with the Kellen Moore, he's going to have to run the ball because you got Barkley and you need your quarterback to have a running game to be successful. But on paper, I think they've done a lot. Now, they've got two big ifs. They got to get Carter and Davis to play well inside.
All right, Michael, let's continue with the NFL draft division deep dives, these recaps. And today we have the NFC West, so Cardinals, Seahawks, Niners, and the Rams. And we'll start off with the Arizona Cardinals here, who had the fourth overall pick, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. They had two first-round picks, though. They had four third-round picks in this draft, as Monty Austin for it, Jonathan Gannon wanted to use this as a draft to kind of build some depth on a roster that needs a lot of talent, and they appeared to do that, at least from a process standpoint.
Well, I mean, look, there's only one way to go for the Cardinals up, especially defensively, where they were, you know, inept at best last season. But the bigger issue than the draft for me, when you talk Arizona Cardinals and how these draft picks relate to the team, is can Kyler Murray play well? Is he going to be the quarterback that he was in 2021, where he averaged 7.9 yards per attempt, or is he going to be back to the quarterback that we've seen the last 2 years, which is well below 7.0 yards per attempt? The concern you have to have if you're an Arizona Cardinal fan is, has the league caught up to Murray? Because when he first entered the league in 19 and then in 20, you know, what I called the beat plays, you know, where he was just running all over, making great plays, throwing it up the field, using his athleticism. But as time wore on and teams became smarter in how to defend him and then use his undersized nature against him, he became very difficult to throw the ball down the field. And I think we've seen that reflective in his numbers. 2 years ago, he hurts his knee, comes back. Last year in the eight starts, I didn't think he looked very good at all through to 10 touchdown passes, five interceptions. But this draft is all predicated, are they right about quarterback? You can say whatever you want moving forward. If they misjudge this and Michael Bidwell made them stick with Murray because he paid him, then this draft will end up being Marvin Harrison, and that's about it, right? But if he can return, then it becomes a different game.
Yeah, I mean, they made the bet on Kyler Murray. They put out the Kyler as our guy, and everybody kind of made fun of it because we all saw that Josh Rosen is our guy. Then they drafted Kyler Murray right after that. But this time they stuck to it. They stuck with Kyler Murray as their quarterback, and we'll see kind of how it goes. But they did bring a lot of guys around him. And Jonathan, I'm encouraged by what I saw in the second half of last year by the Cardinals and just like how hard they played and how like they were still locked into the season despite being well out of the playoff race. So maybe that's a good thing for Jonathan Gannon, who I know came in with a lot of question marks. Just because, I mean, socially, maybe he's a little bit awkward, or at least it appears that way. But apparently the players, it works for them. It works for them, I guess. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what those 53 guys think. And they appear to like him as the head coach. The Seattle Seahawks, a team that you wrote about recently over on VSiN.com. We encourage everybody to check out that article. Goes really well in depth about how Michael is a little bit higher on the Seahawks than the market thinks right now, at a win total of 7.5. But they kicked off their draft with Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas, and they really addressed a lot of defense and offensive line, which is kind of where teams should be addressing the NFL draft, as John Schneider go ahead and controlling the draft without Pete Carroll for the first time.
Yeah, first time in 14 years he won't have Pete Carroll. And Pete, really, over the last 2 years, they've lost their home field advantage, Femi. You know, being there, covering the team, mm-hmm. being a native, how much that home field meant to the city and meant to the team. And they're 20-13 over the last two seasons playing at home. I mean, the loss to Pittsburgh last year, where they allowed 400 yards plus 400 yards to Mason Rudolph, 200 plus passing, 200 plus rushing, and 30 points was a killer for Pete. Pete's not been able to get the defense fixed, you know, whether it's changed his scheme or whether it's kind of come up with a new scheme. And I think McDonald will answer that. You know, the thing that's fascinating when you study Baltimore last year, Baltimore struggled against teams like Cleveland that ran the football effectively against them. And they gave up yards in that area. And teams tried to throw it, run it. What teams didn't do against Baltimore last year was try to throw it. They were 31st last year, Baltimore, in facing passing attempts.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check it out, VSiN.com. Each and every day, got best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles like Michael Lombardi's article today on Seattle, how the future might be bright out there in the Pacific Northwest. Odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there for you at VSiN.com.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Just noise.
Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
Brian does amazing voiceover work for the network. I got to tell you, it gets me fired up. News or noise? Let's get to it. I'm assuming, Michael, finally, we saw reports yesterday. Jim Irsay kind of knows when this release is coming out. Is it news or noise that we're finally going to have the release of the full schedule on May 15th?
Oh, it's always news. Are you kidding me? There'll be a parade. Are you kidding? I mean, we can't wait. I mean, look. You know, the one thing I don't think we see in the release schedule is all this, you know, when you start to plan where you're going to go watch your team on the road or what trips you want to make and how you can plan. I know for us in the league, you know, you want to know where you're going to be at Christmas, where are you going to be at Thanksgiving, where are you going to be around the holiday. That's important, right? And so fans want to know the same thing, too. And then how many road games do we have? I never really get caught up in the strength of schedule as much as because it's somewhat meaningless, right? Because if you're playing a team that's quarterback's out for 2 weeks, is that really a tough game? It counts as a tough game because of last year's record. But it's almost it's not meaningful because nothing is consistent. It goes back to Aristotle's view of analytics. It has to be a consistent factor. So, yeah, I think it's news. It's huge news. Are you kidding me? They got programs. We've got two networks going to release the show. They can't wait.
It's massive news. Okay, I wonder if this is news or noise. This is from Brad Cragthorpe. He is the Bengals quarterback coach. He says that Joey B is looking more and more, Michael Lombardi, like the quarterback we're used to seeing. News or noise?
Well, I think it would only be noise at news if he wasn't that. I mean, who wasn't expecting that? It's like saying when you're in a job interview, I'm going to work hard. Well, of course you're. I mean, that's like a carpenter saying I'm going to bring my hammer to work. I mean, like that goes with the job. I mean, Joe didn't have his leg amputated. He's not coming back from a major surgery. Like, seriously, his arm's still attached to his shoulder. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know how that is news, really. The news would only be if Joe can't throw the ball 10 feet. And that's just not true.
This is what the QB coach went on to say. Quote, I think he looked as quick and as athletic as I've seen him look. He looked like the Joe Burrow we're used to seeing. I didn't see any difference. Okay.
If great. I was working in Cincinnati, I would tell Coach Craig Thorpe, shut up. Like, nobody needs to know that, right? Just shut up. Stay in your lane. Shut up. Like, nobody needs your evaluation. America's not waiting for your evaluation of Joe Burrow, right?
Doctor.
It's a long way from the game. Great. Yeah. Don't play doctor. Don't play general manager. Shut up. Just worry about coaching them. Just love worry it. About coaching them. See, that to me, that annoys the hell out of me, because that means, and I believe this is the grandson of the Idaho State coach, Dave Craig Thorpe, who was an offensive coach a long time. This is just, I want to get my name in the paper. Mm.
That's what it sounds like to me. Is this news or noise from the Browns GM, Andrew Berry? Oh, boy. He says that the team has high expectations for Deshaun Watson and the offense in 2024. Michael Lombardi, news or noise?
It's noise. I mean, what do you expect him to say? He has low expectations? Like, they gave up a boatload of draft picks. They guaranteed $250 million, right? And the guy's been a disaster for Andrew Berry. You know, they've changed coaching staffs offensively. They took the play calling away from the head coach. They've done everything to tell us he's got to get better. Don't tell me you have high expectations. We know that. I mean, the guy sitting in a bar in Parma, Ohio today, drinking a shot and a beer, he's got high expectations for him, too. I mean, come on.
That's the one that made me laugh the most. I mean, my goodness, we are selling Deshaun Watson hard in 2024. So, like, it has not worked out so far. Maybe it looks better this year, but I'm with you on that one. All right, news or noise? And this is interesting. Comes from D'Amico Ryans, a head coach down there in H-Town. And he says that if J.J. Watt wants to return, quote, I've got his number ready to go. 99 back in H-Town, Michael, news or noise?
Can we stop? Can we stop? This is noise, right? If J.J. Watt could still play at a high level, he'd be playing. Okay? This is the classic. It's like Tom Brady. I love him to death. But, you know, I can't not stay out of the game, right? Like, if J.J. Watt was playing at the highest level, he'd still be on the Texans, or he'd be on the Cardinals. He'd be on some team, because I don't think CBS is paying him anywhere near the minimum salary of what you're going to get as a player. Well, I retired. You retired because you couldn't stay healthy. Your games, you were once a dominant player, but that's not the case. Like, I don't care if D'Amico has his number or doesn't. That call's not happening. Even on the cell plans we have, where it doesn't cost you any money to make a call. Like, that ain't happening.
The funniest thing about this is JJ said, I'll come back if D'Amico absolutely needs it. And then D'Amico said, I love hearing that JJ's ready, so I might need to make the call. I'm happy that he's open for it. I'm like, what is going on here?
Well, I mean, it's just talk. It's a little bit like what Riley said about Butler. Just shut up.
That's it.
But that's, you know, we are in the manufacture of stories now, because we need clicks, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and I mean, if people are dumb enough to believe that, you know, J.J. Watt can come back in the league and play at a high level, you don't understand anything about football. Like, you don't take this time off, get your body to lose all the weight that he's lost, and think he's going to come back. Like, seriously.
I'm with you. News or noise here, and this would be with the Clippers, who just got exited stage left. This is from Lawrence Frank, the president of basketball ops. He says that the Clips, they want to keep the big three. Paul George, James Harden, yeah. Kawhi Leonard. News or noise?
Yeah, I think this is news. I don't think they can go into a new arena and with revamping their team. I mean, there's some teams that are just trapped to where they are, right? They're just trapped. Harden's going to become a free agent. George has a player option. Mm-hmm. He can become a free agent. They've got Kawhi under contract. But if they let Paul go, who they needed to get, they traded for Paul because of to get Leonard. They needed that first, right?
Right.
And so, like, if they let Paul walk, Leonard's going to be unhappy. And, you know, Harden is there. I think they're trapped into where they are right now. They can't go anywhere. And I think Lawrence is saying exactly what he is. I mean, they've gone down this road. You can't come back now. It's to go back now means a reload and a rebuild. I don't think Steve Ballmer has the appetite for that. They got to solve the problems in somehow, some way. But look, they're in the West. Minnesota's young. It's the same thing with Phoenix. I mean, Phoenix has no choice. They've got three players. You know, they've got six guys that they like on their roster. They're going to have to go all the way down. They're going to have to add pieces somehow, some way. But I don't think they can give up. They can't pull the grass or the roots out of the ground. It hasn't fully formed yet.
$48.8 million is that Paul George player option due next season. All right, one more. News or noise? Oh, boy. In Philadelphia. Now, Daryl Morey said Monday at the press conference that there are going to be a lot of changes, Michael, around Embiid and Maxey. News or noise out of the city of Brotherly Shove?
No, I mean, this is obviously noise, but I mean, this is news because nobody's coming back. I mean, he basically said, as Howard Eskin said yesterday, Paul Reed and Ricky Counsell are the only two guys that are going to count. Everybody else, they're clearing the decks, and he's going to replace them. And I mean, look, he's got no choice but to try to find some solution to build a team around a player that won't be available next May or next April. Good luck with that. And then after you pick up the 2 years that he has remaining at really high numbers, good luck trying to get out of that. We're going to find out where Morey is in terms of how he builds teams this offseason. I am so excited to watch. I really am. Because his answer to everything is go old, and the league is going young.
It's fascinating because we talked a lot about it this week, about roster construction, and we're talking about those young teams out West. And look, I love Maxey, and Embiid is Embiid, but you're right. It seems like you're tearing it all down. If you don't tear it down and rebuild it with younger commodities, it's going to be more of the same, right?
No question. You're not catching Boston. Your chance to catch Boston was to keep Tatum from going there.
Right.
But we thought in our infinite wisdom that Markelle Fultz was the greatest player of all time.
Some of us did not. That was fantastic, by the way. News or noise? A lot of news. A lot of noise out there as well. Okay, Michael, when we come back,
there's always a lot of noise.
Always a lot of noise this time of year. Okay, when we come back, we're going to have Adam Burke join the program, talk more about what's going on with the website. Of course, your article is out right now about the Seattle Seahawks. So everybody check that out if you haven't done so already.
NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription for an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. It's going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. So with VSiN Pro, you're going to get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns, in-game analysis, plus proven betting systems from our professional handicappers, our exclusive betting splits showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here. It is time now to look at some stat leader props and some numbers associated with them, Michael. And there's so many different ways you can look at these props and marry them to, obviously, if it's the quarterback and the receiving core with the head coach, the style of play these teams want to play. But you can understand when you look at the regular season passing yards, while you get some of those usual suspects up there at the top of the board. You got Patrick Mahomes, of course, he is at 5-1 to lead this discussion. Maybe a bit of surprise that you go right to CJ Stroud next at 6-1. And I know they added Stephon Diggs this year. There's Dak down there deep in the heart at plus 650. Goff in Detroit at 8-1 with Tua They got OBJ there in Miami. And then Joey B is back at at plus 850 before you get to the double digits. Let's go on the left column first.
Odell's going to make a huge difference. I'm shocked Tua's number. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, I'm shocked Tua's not minus money with OBJ there.
He should be odds on.
He'll just take over the game. I mean, it's like Stephon Diggs. He's going to take it over. And, you know, like these two guys are going into teams. They have to be the third receiver. Mm-hmm. Look, when I see this list, when Elliott sent me the rundown this morning, mm-hmm. I mean, Joe Burrow at plus 850 with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, both of them in contract years. And here's what you have to kind of weigh into this, too. Zach Taylor loves calling pass plays as much as anybody. And they'll throw it up the field. They'll throw it quite a bit. Now, I mean, can Zach Moss help him in the run game? Yeah, I sure think he could. But I do think that you're going to get explosive plays out of them. And the same thing with Tua. You know, thank God they have OBJ in there. I don't know what they would do. I haven't slept. I haven't been worried about it since he's arrived. You know, he's a Hall of Fame player. You know, yeah, that's right. Sure, we got that one. Like, to me, Stroud... Like, let's be clear here. Mahomes isn't going to – they can't change what they do in KC,
right,
the way they play. They're going to have to feature Pacheco as much as they did last year. They're not – their left tackle situation is very iffy. Their skill plays receiver – I mean, I know we think Rashid Rice, who probably is headed for a long-term suspension mm-hmm. based on the evidence that's been coming out, you know, or he may not even be on the team, frankly. And so, you know, I think to me you've got to – you got to look at the how they have to play to win, right? Like, Texas has to play balance to run the ball, play action pass, and Stroud. So there's going to be some passing games, but there's also going to be games you're going to have to run it. Whereas I think Burrow and Tua, I mean, their call sheets are all passes.
Yeah.
If you want to go Cousins at 14-1, God bless them if they can protect them. We'll see if that works. Josh Allen... You know, let's face it, Josh Allen, it's all loose plays. The reason he's 18-1 is because he makes as much with his feet as mm-hmm. he does with his arm.
I look at Jordan Love at 16-1. Does that entice you at all? No Aaron Jones now. He's in Minnesota. You got Josh Jacobs there because they got a bunch of receivers.
Jacobs.
Right?
Well, Jacobs is good in the passing game. I mean, Jacobs can do everything Aaron Jones did in the passing game if he's in shape and if he has his legs. Last year, the contract holdout, and his lower body wasn't the same. And it could be the residue of 300 carries, right? Mm-hmm. That the only person who's been immune to 300 carries is Derrick Henry. He's been immune to it. He kind of gets it over. Emmitt Smith, they went through it a couple years, and all of a sudden he hit that wall. You know, I thought Aaron Jones was the difference in that Packer offense late in the year. But I'm with you on Love. I love their receivers. You know, if Watson can stay healthy and not have the hamstring, I think they're really good. I would not be – because they're going to call a lot of pass plays, too.
16-1 feels like there might be some value in that number with the plethora of receivers they have there. For rushing yards, and again, it gets back to what you just talked about, the call sheet, Michael. Which teams want to run it, which teams want to try to be balanced, and which teams really just want to chuck it all over the place. I look at one long shot coming back off injury – and knowing what Kevin Stefanski likes to do in Cleveland, that's Nick Chubb at 25-1. Does that worry you because the gruesome nature of the injury? And there's Pacheco at 22-1.
I wouldn't touch it.
You wouldn't touch Chubb?
No chance. I mean, I don't know if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be cleared to play, but playing good is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gruesome injury. A Pacheco is a great call, but the problem is you can't trust Andy to call runs. I mean, they're going to rotate. They brought Edwards, they brought Hilaire back too. So he's going to have a committee. And eventually, you know, they're going to throw it. I think the guy that jumps out on this at 650-1 is Barkley.
Wow.
Because Barkley was brought in for a specific purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barkley, if he stays healthy, Barkley was brought in to run the ball, to give them a better version of Miles Sanders. And they're going to run it. Like, they are going to run it. Now, unless Kellen Moore all of a sudden goes off the reservation and can't wait to start calling pass plays, which will be a problem. But I think so. And same thing with Jonathan Taylor. They know they got with a rookie quarterback, because he's only started two games last year, they've got to run it. All the other guys, I think it's hard to peg. The other one would be Henry at 12-1. Because if you're going to play Henry, you got to put Lamar under center. And you got to hand the big fella the ball. Like, you can't go into the game and say, we're just going to give Henry 10 carries. Because where Henry wins is on carry 15-22. He wears your ass down. Nobody wants to tackle him. So to me, that's where I get into a little bit of you got to look and pick and choose. Like McCaffrey, I wouldn't touch that in a million years, only because can he stay healthy 2 years in a row? Mm-hmm. That worries you. And, you know, they drafted the Guerrero kid in the fourth round from Louis. They're going to rotate. They got to keep McCaffrey fresh for January.
What about Bijan? Because there's so much consternation down there in the ATL. Arthur Smith is not there this year, that they didn't use him enough last year for the media's liking, or maybe social media's liking. What do you make of who he is, 12-1 on the odds board here, and now with Raheem Morrison there, do you think they try to get the running game going as they figure out what's going to happen at quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, Algier 2 years ago averaged 5 yards a carry. Bijan didn't last year. I mean, you know, that was overkill. You can't play two backs, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Bijan is really a dynamic pass catcher. He's a factor in the passing game, you know, and I think that's really where he's going to gain a lot. He'll give them that element that Todd Gurley gave the Rams mm-hmm. when McVay first went there. You know, not just a screen pass catcher, but a true pass catcher. But they're going to rotate. Algier, they're going to get a – because Algier's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And so I think he would be a play. Jacobs at 14-1, you know, because, look, it's going to get cold. It's mm-hmm. going to get, you know, you're going to have to run the ball there. And I do think they will give him the football.
Interesting odds board there. Let's get to the receivers, and you can understand why the Cheetah is the top of it.
Well, I'm playing Beckham here without a doubt. To me,
it's easy. Get that 100-1 ready on
easy. I mean, I think that's a slam dunk. I'm gonna play Diggs and Beckham, because that's all we're gonna hear about. Two guys who are third receivers on teams, and all we're gonna talk about is Odell Beckham. He's on the Miami Dolphins, and oh my God, Stephon Diggs. You know, I mean,
Diggs, by the way, is 22-1.
It's just unbelievable.
Michael. It is unreal. Diggs is 22-1. By the way.
Oh my God, just give the money to the kids at St. Jude's, please. Just give that money to St. Jude's. I beg of you. I really do. Ridiculous. I think a lot of this comes down to, obviously, Hill's an easy play. You know, I think that's the easy one. I think Davante Adams is, there's no chance. 18-1. I mean, Davante Adams is not the same player he was two years ago. You know, he's kind of trending in the wrong direction, you know, and I think you got to be really careful about that. So, I what's shocking is Nakua's on this list. And I don't see Cooper Kupp on the list.
Not on the first board.
I mean, Cooper Kupp must be longer than 20-1. Yeah. That's remarkable, right?
28-1?
28, thank you, Elliot. 28-1, wow. That's remarkable.
That is, and you still have Stafford, yeah.
I would say I would play at 9-1, I would play Chase. I would play Chase, and, you know, I would still play A.J. Brown. Yep. I think he's going to have a big year, you know, because he got the new contract. And I think those are the places. I mean, they're going to – one of the things you have to do in this category is believe that the coach can get the ball to the player when he's doubled. See, this category is really about who is a number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is getting the ball when he's covered, right? Who is a true number one? And I think this category speaks volumes to that. You know, Michael Pittman's a good player, but people can take him out of the game. Right. And so I think you got to look at that really closely.
I love the Jamar Chase at 9-1 with Joey B being back. Right. Because we've seen him have just, you know, he's had Justin Jefferson games, but I can't play JJ this year because you don't know who the quarterback is, whether it's Darnold or JJ McCarthy. Right. Right. That doesn't feel like a playable number to me. Right.
That's I agree with you on that. Yeah. I think that's why Chase hits his contract year. Once Lamb gets a deal, once Jefferson gets a deal, Chase is going to see that money and go.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes easier to kind of X out people on the first page of that leaderboard that we just talked about in some of these prop markets versus... Well,
Drake London, I can't believe Drake London isn't on this list. How is Drake London not on this list? He's a number one receiver.
Former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonantoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA playoffs are, of course, heating up. So is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet just $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly just by downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Do so now. Use the code VSiN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. We continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. And Michael, a great pleasure to have Howard Eskin. Whenever I was in D.C. and covering anything that had to go to New York or Philly, I always put on WIP and listen to Howard Eskin. He joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Howard, we got to get right to it because I know Michael's got a lot of thoughts on what happened with the 76ers as we watch the Knicks now battle the Pacers in the second round. Had the exit interviews with Daryl Morey yesterday. You were there. What's your biggest takeaway post-Sixers season?
He didn't say anything. At least he didn't tell you that they were a championship contender. And then it would have been an embarrassment and an insult. You know, they've got two players. They're going to build around two stars. I think Tyrese Maxey is the best player on the team. Maybe not the most talented, but the best player on the team. And Joel Embiid's always going to get hurt. Plays for himself. He doesn't listen to the coach all the time. Where Maxey plays for his teammates, and he plays every second hard. And I don't know that Joel Embiid either does that or can do that with the shape that he's never in. But what Daryl Morey said yesterday, other than those are the two guys we're going to build around, and the two players he said he knows he's going to keep are Paul Reed and Council. I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's, you know, I know they have a lot of free agents, but to identify those two people, Paul Reed is just below average, even as a backup. So they're where they are. They're going to sign old players because he's going to try to win in 1 year and 2 years. And I don't have any confidence in Daryl Morey. The bottom line is I have zero confidence in Daryl Morey. One of the reporters asked the question, how would you grade yourself? Which is a foolish question anyway. How do you grade yourself? Now, the question is, how can anybody or fans have confidence in you when you haven't made this team better since you've been here? It's pretty simple. So, I mean, he said nothing yesterday, which is probably better than some of the things I thought he would say.
You know, Howard, I was going through it, and I can't find a trade that he made that was good. I can't find, Maxey, he can claim, but Maxey was promised to be picked by the Sixers when Morey first arrived. And in his time here, even he admitted that the Buddy Hield trade didn't work. And instead of looking at a spreadsheet, he might want to look at the game tape. So, like, I know from your perspective and my perspective how we both feel, but where does Josh Harris gain this optimism that he believes the 76ers are a model organization when they haven't gotten past the second round of any playoff series?
Josh Harris, there's a lot of things to decipher there from what you just said. Josh Harris only cares about making money. He doesn't have the passion to win. Josh Harris only now cares about the football team in Washington. That's all he cares about. That's why he extended Daryl Morey. For what? What did he do to get a 3-year extension? And he's probably one of the highest, if not the highest paid guys in his position in the NBA, probably making close to $15 million a year. He's stealing money. And Tyrese Maxey was not him. He doesn't claim people kind of throw that out there, and he kind of lets it sit. He publicly said when he came, because he'd only been here for a little over a week, that was Elton Brand's choice. And the other thing that goes into that, Elton Brand made a trade for Markelle Fultz, which was a 3-way deal, and they ended up with Oklahoma City's pick, which ended up to be the pick that they took for Tyrese Maxey. So Maxey is all Elton Brand. But Josh Harris, the 76ers have the worst ownership in Philadelphia in my lifetime. They're the worst. Raise ticket prices. 4 years they tried to lose. If I asked Josh Harris, how far is the foul line from the basket? He'd probably have to look around and throw out a lifeline to get the answer to the question. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Josh Harris is a clueless when it comes to sports, but he's not clueless when it comes to making money because he can do that.
Well, you mentioned he's going to be focused on the team up the Beltway there in D.C. next year with the Commanders. I want to talk about the Eagles, Howard, because we know, Michael and I have talked about it, no teams repeated here in 20 years in the NFC East. The Cowboys did run down the Eagles at the end of last year. By all, it looks like a pretty good offseason. Obviously, it feels like an upgrade with the coordinators here for the Eagles going in. They're co-favorites with the Cowboys, a win total of 10.5 for Philadelphia this year. What do you make of Philadelphia's offseason so far?
Well, the draft, you normally, well, you don't draft for need if it's not the best player. But they actually got, and a lot of other people feel the same way, they got the best player with their first-round pick in Mitchell, Quinyon Mitchell. And they needed a corner. The second pick, people believe they got the best player available at that spot, another defensive back. And the only reason he slipped to the second round is because he had an injury at Iowa in his senior year, a leg injury. They got Landon Dickerson that slipped to the second round. They're not afraid. If their doctors check a player out and they say, you know, he's going to be okay, they trust their doctors, and they go and trade the player. But I think they did a good job, but it all comes down to one thing. It all comes down to the quarterback, and he's got to play better. You know, they did prove eventually they signed some players. They lost two players, and Kelsey on the offensive line, which he's really hard to replace, but they think they've got some people there. And they lost Fletcher Cox on the defensive line. But they believe they have people that can step in, not at that level, but it comes down to the quarterback. It comes down to the quarterback. But they did have, Howie Roseman did have a good offseason. I mean, I think not just myself, but a lot of people around the league have said the same thing.
And I agree. My question to you, Howard, is the connectivity between Hurts, which we saw last year, wasn't good. You know, sitting by himself, seemed aloof. Is that going to be better because of the addition of Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator?
I think it's going to be better because the head coach hasn't really addressed that with him, but other people I know in the organization have addressed that with him that say, you know, you got to be more personable with your teammates. And he understands it's unfortunately he works hard. Unfortunately, it's his makeup. He works hard. I think Nick Saban really ruined him because, you know, Nick Saban took all the media. It's rat poison. It's all rat poison. And he uses that phrase, you know, it just, you got to open up a little bit. It's just, if somebody's going to, they're going to criticize you, whether you open up or you don't open up. And if you say something, it's, oh, they're going to use it against me. And then it 24 hours later, you move on. So it's been addressed with other people and he knows it and he understands it, but he's also got to he's got to make better reads. He's got to be better against the blitz. He's got to do things which he did the year before, but he didn't do last year when teams adjusted to him. Now, the new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, everybody thinks will help, and we'll see. But it really, I mean, coaches can coach, but players got to carry through, you know, what you've been coached. And that's what's got to happen. And if that happens, the Eagles could be a good team. In the NFC, I think Green Bay is the best team. I just love what they did at the end of last year. Detroit's good. But now they got to do it again after the expectations are a lot different. I'm not a believer in San Francisco right now because teams that lost in the Super Bowl, only one of those teams in 30 years is going back the next year. They're just not as good for whatever reason. I don't understand why, and nobody has a real answer. But when you look at it, Dallas will always choke, and that's what they do. That's the best trait they have is they choke. I don't worry about Dallas, and there's nobody else in the Eagles division. So the NFC is the place to be if you want to go far during the season and in the playoffs, but they're going to have to win in the regular season. Unfortunately, they have to play Green Bay in Brazil, which is a home game, and they've taken away a home game, and it makes it a neutral game. For what could be a tiebreaker at the end of the year in the conference. So that wasn't fair what the NFL did, but the NFL doesn't care about fair. All they care about is, you know, how much money are they going to generate? So, and I don't know what what it is in Brazil that they generate, but I guess it's international television dollars. Who knows? Expanding the game. But that's unfortunate for the Eagles to have that game taken away from home. So, but they're good. They're really good. They're going to be good.
7-1 for Philadelphia to win the NFC next year. Howard, great stuff as always. Appreciate you joining us here on the Progressive.
Great work, Howard. Thank you, Howard.
Have a great day. Have a great day.
There he is, everybody. Howard Eskin, give him a follow on X. When we come back, we'll figure out what's on Michael's mind. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.